relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
You know when you get disillusioned now and again, you're living your life, you're having a good time, everything's cool, and then you say, hey, there's that guy I like, and my producers invited him in studio. That's really cool. It's a Monday. We're going to have fun. And then he walks in the studio with a book he needs to plug. I guess that's life in the swamp. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Savior's Channel. And it looks good. It looks good. I like the guy who wrote it, so I'll give it a little bit of mileage. It's called A Strange Habit of Mind, A Cameron Winter Mystery. I do believe it's part two of a series, and it's by the Galactic Grandmaster of the Universe, Klavan. Andrew Klavan. No ease in Klavan. Drew, welcome in studio.
Thank you kindly. And it's great.
It's a great book. Is it great? Is your book great?
My book is great. This is a sequel to When Christmas Comes. And if you read this book, you will say, oh, there's nothing else like this, because it's very hard to get published now without being woke. And this is so unwoke. You'll be like awake.
And if you get hold of it right now, I'll be impressed, because it's not out yet.
No.
But it is important, because this is how those scumbags in the New York Times do these things. If if you drop enough pre-orders now, when the official stats are launched on the first week, that's how. Oh, look, he sold 60,000 copies in one day.
And not just that. It means the publisher, they have a good reason, because they know we're going to be attacked. The publisher says, oh, there's an audience for this.
Yes, it's hugely important. And congratulations, or let's give kudos to the publisher. It says Mysterious Press.
Very prestigious publisher, but not big. You know, prestigious, but not big. So they need your help in buying this book and pre-ordering this book.
I'm just going to read the whole book live on air. Rudyard Kipling. It opens with Rudyard. Good old Rudyard.
Right there, you know. It's cancelable.
It's completely politically incorrect. The opening is from The Ballad of East and West. But there is neither East nor West, border nor breed nor birth. When two strong men stand face to face, though they come from the ends of the earth. I think I might have to read that. The book is A Strange Habit of Mind. Get it. Pre-order it right now. Do my buddy a favor. Come on. He's a, you know, penurious author. Just help the guy out. All right, Drew, can we get serious for a second?
Yes.
So my son is smarter than me.
I should hope so.
Well, it's like every
I've met your wife. He'd have to be. You know?
Every son should be smarter, stronger, more handsome than their father. I remember the day my father looked at me and said, "You're taller than me now." Good. That's as it should be. And we had a 3-hour philosophical discussion last night.
All right.
And it went to something you said at a recent YAF event. My wife sent me a podcast of a speech you gave last week. And she said, it's probably one of the speeches you've given. And I just want to play a little bit about it. It starts off, this isn't in the cut. You talk about how the establishment doesn't exist anymore. It's bankrupt. It's gone. Even our priests, even our ministers betrayed us or hid under the table under COVID. And then you talked about the intellectuals and the rest of the establishment. So just listen to this really. This is the best part of the speech. I'm going to post the whole video on all my social media platforms. But let's listen to Andrew Klavan.
You have academics who either won't teach the great books or silence those books by smothering them under their own banal and unfounded critical theories. Even worse, and I know this because many of you tell it to me, they threaten you with bad grades if you don't lie and pretend to believe what they're saying. That is a sin, by the way. It's a sin for an old person in authority to coerce a young person into compromising his integrity. It's a double sin. And I'm the only person who'll tell you this, it's a double sin to do that to a young man, because integrity is important to both sexes, but it's the essence of being a man. You cannot be a man. In order to be a man, you have to be who you say you are and do what you say you will do.
be who you say you are and do what you will say to do. That line is incredibly important. That definition of what manhood is what vexes me the most right now, that we've lost that. And the discussion we had yesterday with my son, and I'm going to get, you know, straight in, super serious, is that there are crisis points in human history where the establishment is corrupt, has collapsed, is degenerate, hates its own community. And at that point, somebody has to fix it. The Ajax has to come along, the Achilles or the Hector who isn't killed. My son said, with his analysis, he's a classicist major. He said, that's what has happened all through human history, but it can't happen now.
Son is right.
Because social media, modern technology, we can't look at people as heroes anymore, and it will be impossible for that man to stand up.
I countered by
saying the fear of the majority, when the barbarians are at the gate, they will look at the new Churchill, they will look at the new pattern, then they will be found. He said, no, technology doesn't permit that anymore. Where do you stand on the likelihood of somebody truly draining the civilizational swamp, Andrew?
Well, first, I think we have to recognize the danger of the situation. There's a theory called the cycle of regimes, which you've probably heard of. And the way that democracies collapse is that they begin to worship freedom, as we've begun to do. They become chaotic, and then people start looking for that strong man to pull them together again. But then you've lost the democracy.
Right. If it's you want a strong man because he's strong, then you've lost it.
That's right.
So that's a Putin factor.
And a man like George Washington, who's given us these many hundreds of years of freedom, they don't come around all that often, you know? There's only one guy on the $1 bill, and there's really nobody like him. Even Lincoln is not the kind of character that
George Washington is. The guy who saved us and then said, I'm going back to the farm. The Ciceroian.
He had an emperor. I mean, he had an army at his back. He had the people at his feet. He had an entire continent that was all his, and he handed his sword back to the civilian authority. That just does not happen in history. I mean, that's an amazing, miraculous moment, and we can't really count on that again. However, where I disagree with your son is that everybody is going to be dissected by the internet.
Yeah.
The crisis that we're in now is an internet crisis. It is a crisis just like the one that followed the invention of the printing press when information became general, gods fell, churches fell, war. For 300 years, there was bloodshed throughout Europe as people fought out where things were going to stand. And that's what we're trying to avoid, because most of the time that ends up with tyranny. But yes, good men can rise. Good men can rise. And I think right at this moment, if you watch the culture, and this is the thing that I've actually kind of have some weird expertise as of, if you watch the artistic culture, it's dead. Our art is dead, and everything is because they're looking for the definition of a good man.
Yes.
Feminism has undercut what a good man is, because immediately you say, you heard me in that speech say, it's different to destroy the integrity of a young man than it is a young woman. Women have a little wiggle room. We like them to fool us a little bit. We like them to change their minds. We understand that they're thinking differently than we are. A man has to have integrity in order to be a man. That is the definition of a man, is his integrity.
Can you drill down on that? Because it's a very subtle point.
Yes.
That a woman is allowed that. We're not saying a woman can exist without integrity. But explain why there's a certain plasticity or a little bit of a wiggle room for a woman. But when a man loses integrity, that's it. He's done. Can you expand on that?
Well, first of all, women, you know, anyone who knows them knows they think entirely differently than we do. I never would turn to my wife and say, well, that's not what you said yesterday. I know it's not what she said yesterday, and she knows it's not what she said yesterday. But she feels her way, and she actually, the thing that drives men crazy about women is they're completely out of their minds. But they're not always wrong, right? They keep saying things, and he keeps saying, well, gee, I don't know where that came from, but it's true. So you learn to respect their way of thinking. But it's not the same as our kind of clunkier, more direct, more naked way of thinking, using reason and courage to kind of move forward into what we feel the truth is. And so we have no wiggle room like that. We have to, when we make our mistakes, we have to admit them, change our minds, move on. And when we're not making mistakes, we have to move forward very forcefully, or else the world falls apart. People who wear T-shirts who say the future is female, the future is never female, and the reason the future is never female is you've had two children, and one of them says, I'm going to take a cardboard box and turn it into a ramp and take my skateboard to the moon. That's the boy. That's the crazy boy, because he'll do it and he'll break his legs and he'll be in traction. But one day he'll invent that thing that will do what he wants it to do. So, you know, we're in this dangerous moment when manhood has been undermined, when there is nobody to stand up and say this is what manhood looks like, when even the arts can't find what a hero looks like. If you look at the last good period of the arts, it was this golden age of television where we had The Sopranos and Breaking Bad and Dexter, all these anti-heroes, all these people who were only men because they violated every rule and broke the rules of society. What we're looking for right now, and there was amazingly to me, there was an article about this in the New York Times, what we're looking for right now is not the anti-hero, but the hero and the male hero. What is that going to look like? That's not some boring thing that we don't believe in, but is in fact a full man,
realistic
right. hero with all the problems of the modern world on his shoulder. Part of what this book is about.
But right. Shut up about the book. We'll talk about the book in the next segment. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. I've got thousands of questions because this is the stuff I love to listen to. That's why it's my favorite U.S. podcast, The Andrew Klavan Show. Forget the rest of the guys at The Daily Wire. He's the real deal. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Subscribe to my podcast. Go to Spotify. America First, Sebastian Gorka. Give us a 5-star review. We'll be back in a second.
Making sense out of today's nonsense. Here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Eric, are we recording the breaks? Good, because that was a good break. I want to post all of these three segments together as one, because this chap, not too shabby. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. I don't care where you stand on the political spectrum. I don't care where you stand on the issue of Ukraine. The fact that Russia invaded is the most important thing. But seriously, people are suffering. People are getting killed. Citizens. That's the modern warfare. The majority of people who die in modern war are citizens. And right now, women and children are under attack. They're displaced in Ukraine. There's one organization I'm working with that is helping them. Let's do the Christian thing. Like our Lord and Savior told us, come unto me, the little children. Help the widows. Help the dispossessed. They've already shipped 11 million meals to the mothers and the children who are trying to survive in a besieged Ukraine. Make a difference today. Make a donation in any amount, but $50, just $50 is nuts. They have the meals donated. They just have to get them in theater and distributed through their network of pastors. Make a difference. You can call them today. Go to your phone, 855-330-HOPE, or just go to my webpage, sebgorka.com, and click on the Help Ukraine banner at the top. It's Food for the Poor, amazing organization. Call 855-330-4743 or go to SEBGORKA, sebgorka.com, and right at the top, the Help Ukraine banner. You're literally saving lives today. Irrespective of what you think of the war, women and children are suffering. God bless you. God bless Food for the Poor. We're back with Andrew Klavan. He is the grand master of the Andrew Klavan Show. Subscribe. Hit the little notifications bell on YouTube. Watch it. He's allowed me to transcribe. Thanks to Eric, we have transcribed his YAF lecture. I'm going to be posting it because you need to read it. If you're not into YouTube or whatever, read it. It is that good. However, he's a graphomaniac. He doesn't sleep. He says that repeatedly on his show. So he's got a brand new book out, A Strange Habit of Mind. No spoilers, but what's the series about?
This series is about a apparent college professor who's got a very dark past, who's got a very violent and dark past. And in this one, he comes face to face with a billionaire social media tycoon.
From South Africa?
Who he thinks is canceling people in a very egregious way. And it's a story, you know, we were talking about anti-heroes in the break. It's a story about a guy trying to go from being an anti-hero to becoming a hero. That really is what the series is about. And how do you do that? How do you get past the past into the future, into being a better man? And here he finds himself faced with questions of race, questions of gender, all the things that are bothering us today, and making his way through it as an honest man.
You're making it sound like these are issues in the real world.
No, I just make this stuff up at the top of my head.
Sounds like a good movie script, Andrew Clayton.
However, no one else would have published this but Mysterious Press. Seriously.
Is there somebody we need to give a shout out to? Is there an editor or publisher?
Otto Penzler. Mystery. No kidding. He's the greatest mystery editor in the world. And he has kept me alive when other people have canceled me. He has stuck by me all, you know, throughout my career. And he has put out this book in a great way. And I'm really hoping people will pre-order it so he knows that we're going to deliver an audience.
Otto Penzler, hat tip. We doff our caps to you. Don't forget your cap, Clavin. The book is A Strange Habit of Mine. Please, as a favor to me, guys, please pre-order it right now. A Strange Habit of Mine. So my son is just the best. We had 3 hours of discussion over cigars last night. Then he watched Return of the Jedi with me. As he's getting ready to start the show, the movie, he says in a kind of, I really hope it's true, but I'm not sure it is. And he says, Dad, Do you think Top Gun is really the beginning? And I'm wondering, it's dangerous to read too much into what Maverick has done, because of course Tom Cruise can literally do whatever he wants. He could do like a Yoko Ono sitting in front of a camera for 2 hours and say it's a movie, and people would probably go and watch it.
Yep.
But it did make $1 million in 6 weeks. Should we read something into it or be cautious because it's Tom Cruise?
Well, we should be cautious not just because it's Tom Cruise, but because Hollywood is well able to ignore economic realities to push its crazy woke message.
So the thing that all they care about is money is not true?
It's not true. It's never been true. Oh, the people who say that don't work in Hollywood. First of all, artists work for love. That's the first thing. Artists wouldn't starve in garrets if they were just working for money. And the second thing is there are a lot of other rewards that you get in Hollywood that go beyond money. Awards, women, prestige, fame. They're not going to give you a lot of prestige. I mean, look at this wonderful TV show, The Terminal List. Yes. Have you watched this?
We had Jack Carr on the show. We had the author on the show.
He's coming on my show as well. And I read the book when it came out, and I thought, this is really good stuff.
He knows how to write.
And he also knows, the intricacies of being a Navy SEAL, so it's very realistic. It's lots and lots of fun. Chris Pratt does a great job. But if you look at Rotten Tomatoes, it gets something like a 2% from the critics, and then a 98%. Right. But that counts for something. See, this is a big deal. I wrote a horror movie. It's not a good horror movie, but I wrote a horror movie that the audience loved.
The Werewolf Cop?
No. It was called. There was one miscall. It's not very good. I'm not going to plug it. However, the audience loved it, and it was an audience of young kids, and they thought it was fun and scary. The critics just tore it to pieces. Would they make a sequel of it? No, because they couldn't take the heat from the critics. This is a problem. Prestige is one of the things that sells in Hollywood, as well as awards. You're not going to get an award. You're not going to get an Emmy for The Terminal List. You're not going to get The Girl. You're going to be kind of a pariah. So we're fighting real uphill forces. And if we don't start making stuff, if we don't start building studios, and if we don't start building streaming services and all the rest, ultimately Hollywood's just going to go back to its old habits and sell you. It's going to do things like sell you stories that are pretty good, but in the middle you get to hear how great socialism is, the way they did it in one of the James Bond films. What was it called? A Quantum of Solace, mm-hmm. where suddenly James Bond says something great about socialism. The guy who single-handedly brought down the Soviet Union is suddenly telling us how great socialism is. So Hollywood is not going to change unless we compete with them, and when we compete with them, then they'll start to come
but
around.
But is that realistic? Is that a realistic goal?
Yeah.
You look at an industry that can throw away $200-300 million per movie. God bless Gina Carano, God bless Nick Searcy, but are we going to create an ecostructure that each unit has $200-300 million behind it?
Well, you look back at the 70s when this was happening again, and guys like Clint Eastwood made a lot of dough making Dirty Harry films. People forget why Dirty Harry was so successful. It was because crime was rampant. It was racist to say that crime was rampant, right. And Clint Eastwood said, "Go ahead, make my day." That's why that became iconic. There were other. Death Wish was another series that was just like that. If we make those films, and some of them are not that expensive to make, people will show up. If people will show up, we can make more expensive films. It's going to take time, but we can definitely compete with them. We don't because right wingers are so Philistine. They're Philistines. They don't realize how important the culture is.
Well, we are waiting for the day of the return to high culture, such as Dirty Hillary or Death Wish. That's my kind of high culture, because I have a 44 Magnum. I have also an Auto Mag. So, you know, the iconic Clint weapons are in my safe at home. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you enjoy the show, check out the merch store. Everything made in America, nothing in China. Don't give those stinking commies anything. You can get your LGBT t-shirts and mugs. Yes, because Pride Month may be over, but we are full LGBTQ here in America. Let's get Biden to quit. Get yours today. It is the hottest selling item on the website. The second is the Trump 2024 three-peat hat. He's a huge supporter of President Trump. He wants him to run far more than Ron DeSantis. Go to SebGorkaStore.com. Don't laugh. SebGorkaStore.com. This is America First.
You're listening to Dr. Sebastian Gorka, a man who's taken down Eastern European governments with just the sound of his voice.
It's true. If you haven't booked yet, please join us for our trip of a lifetime. It is our Stand With Israel tour with the superlative Salem colleague of ours, Dinesh D'Souza, and his lovely wife, Debbie. We're going to walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth. We're going to be standing there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee at the Temple Mount of the Garden of Gethsemane. Even if you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with me or Dinesh. Book your tickets today. Reserve your places. Call 855-565-5519. I'm not vaccinated and I'm going, so you've got no excuse. Or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. That's 855-565-5519. Standwithisraeltour.com. We're back with Andrew Klavan. The new book, you've got to pre-order it right now, is A Strange Habit of Mind, one of the Cameron Winter Mystery Series books. Please, please, let's get this guy on the bestsellers, A Strange Habit of Mind. And kudos to your agent or your publisher, who is?
Otto Penzler, the greatest.
Otto Penzler, the great Otto Penzler. All right, we were talking the break. I brought up this. If you guys haven't seen it, I think I'll post a clip of it. Lex Fridman, this young podcaster, big into technology, had Joe Rogan as a guest, which is unusual in and of itself, on, and managed to very skillfully walk Joe into a trap of his own making by saying, why didn't you have Donald Trump on your show? You've got the biggest podcast in the world. And Rogan says, not interested in helping that guy out. It's not my job. He's nasty. And then literally 10 minutes later, he gets him to admit, I love Alex Jones. I put him on my show so people could see the other side of Alex Jones, the guy who just got fined $40 million for lying about Sandy Hook. So this is part of our broader discussion. Congrats to Lex, by the way. Divisiveness, or allowing people to say their viewpoint, shouldn't we welcome that? Because, you know, this is the biggest thing about Trump. Oh, he's divisive.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to AOC.
AOC, right? Who's like a wonderful... Yeah. No, this is all... I mean, this is all... We have to understand what a monoculture we're living in. You know, this is the thing that skews everything. If Donald Trump had three channels and the left had three channels, I would say, great, fight it out. But in fact, the left still holds the high ground, not just in the media, not just in every aspect except for radio and podcasting, but not only there, but they hold it in terms of the government, obviously, and in terms of law enforcement now, corporations. This was, you plugged my YAF speech before about the collapse of the establishment. That's what I mean. You know, it's one thing to have an avant-garde, a rebellious avant-garde. Sometimes they bubble up fresh ideas, and sometimes people like us conservatives are saying, no, we can't do that. Okay, that's fine. That's part of the system. That's part of how it works. Young people usually a little bit more creative than older people, old people steeped in tradition, which is also good. We don't have that system anymore. The old people are gone. The old people just support whatever these crazy lunatics do.
But let me push back on, because as I'm listening to you bolderize your own presentation, because you use that phrase, the collapse of the establishment.
Yeah.
What if it's not the collapse? What if it's the strengthening?
In the sense of...
They become invincible. They become Teflon, Kevlar, cast iron coated because we can't touch them. As you said, all we have is talk radio and podcasts.
Yeah, there, but there ain't no such thing as invincible. No,
all right, let me.
they're strong.
It's the ossification, the strengthening of the establishment because nobody can penetrate their monopoly. Well, I mean, what you're describing, for example, in terms of bureaucracy, is what I fought in the White House.
That's right.
The deep state.
That's right.
And they were more powerful than President Trump because look at what happened in the last 6 months. President Trump literally ordered the declassification of all Russia collusion garbage. And guess what? The classification system in America belongs to the president. Nobody else gets to classify or declassify. It belongs to the president. He ordered it. And it was slow rolled all the way to the election. Now, that isn't an establishment that's collapsing, Drew, is it?
Oh, yes. No, it is. I think you're wrong about this. I think...
It comes to my show to tell me I'm wrong. Not that at all, because I'm not Joe Rogan. Go ahead.
I think when I compare the internet to the printing press, that is a very exact analogy.
Yes.
When the printing press comes out, suddenly people are reading the Bible for themselves. They're starting to disagree with the Catholic Church, which is a massive, unified power system. Well... The Catholic Church didn't just go away. It didn't just say, okay, we're all going to be friends. They're going to be different religions. It was war.
For 150 years.
For 150 years. And that's what you're seeing now. Basically, the left is in that position right now. They are what Samuel Coleridge called the clerisy. They are the authorities. And yes, they are trying desperately to hold on to that. But you don't have to desperately hold on to something that's not slipping away. If it weren't slipping away, they wouldn't be so desperate to hold on. And I think that the sign of Trump... The terror that went through them with Trump just shows how delicate they are. Listen, when your hero is George Soros, you're not in a position of strength. That doesn't mean you're not in a position of authoritarianism. They are authoritarian.
Yeah.
They are tyrannical.
It's like Ceausescu. It's like, you know, he thinks he's in control.
Until you step out in that balcony. That's
until you
absolutely
step out
right.
And they don't say, hail Ceausescu. They say, sod off, and
yep.
Then the look on his face.
Yeah.
Do you want to sell more books?
Yes.
You want to stay here a little longer?
Sure.
All right, don't go anywhere.
But you have to hand pedal them.
Like this. I'm going to be the organ grinder. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. The book is A Strange Habit of Mine. We're coming to you live from just outside the insalubrious, fetid, nay, rank swamp that is Washington, D.C. from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, are you in daily pain? Have you tried everything else, only failed to find relief? If that's you, you've got to try this 100% drug-free product that is liberating 500,000 Americans, me included. Find out for yourself. There's only one way, but it's super easy. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of the 3rd week, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose? Accept the pain. Do it today. You've waited long enough. You deserve to know if you're the next success story. It costs just $19.95, which translates to less than a dollar a day. What can you get for less than a dollar a day? Nothing except potential liberation from your pain. 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com.
A man, a legend, a legal immigrant, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
We're talking culture. We're talking movies. You got to pre-order Andrew's book, A Strange Habit of Mine. And he's done it. Larry Elder's first movie, Uncle Tom, was such a success. The sequel, Uncle Tom 2, is just about to release. You can pre-order that right now at salemnow.com. He unveils the Marxist strategy to create a false narrative of racial tension in America. The ultimate goal, obtaining power, destroying capitalism, and replacing God with government. I would say they're pretty much there already on the last one. Go to salemnow.com, pre-order Larry's latest movie, Uncle Tom 2. If you enjoyed the first one, you will love the sequel. We're back with Andrew Klavan, her host of the Andrew Klavan Show. Follow him on all social media platforms. Go to YouTube, subscribe to his channel. The brand new book is A Strange Habit of Mind, a Cameron Winter mystery. Drew, you agreed to stay in the studio. Thank you kindly. Your monologues are hilarious. Your commentary on politics. I want to juxtapose two little clips for you. The first one is, we have been told for decades now that Nancy Pelosi is the arch strategist. She is the Machiavelli of Capitol Hill. I'd like to question that with a little cut. This is Cut 14. This is the arch strategist.
When I was a little girl, I was told at the beach if I dug a hole deep enough,
dug a hole deep enough, she'd reach China. She actually said that in front of a camera. I used to say that when I was maybe six.
Yes.
But she's the art strategist.
Well, they've certainly dug a hole deep enough.
I think turn us into China.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, now let me juxtapose that with somebody who has... I like this guy. I got some issues with him when it comes to who he books on his show, but that's another issue. There's a chap called Charles Payne on Fox Business. Oh, yeah. Very smart guy. Now,
very.
Indulge me, I never... play really long cuts. But this cut is so bloody on point. This is a kind of peek behind the curtain of what the Democrat Party has become and what they're really doing, for example, with this inflation increasing act. So this is Charles Payne talking about the real Democrat agenda, the real strategy. Cut 9.
You know, Sean, I really want to go after this bill in the way that that just people need to understand. The International Energy Agency, which is a big international group of folks who have a lot of power, in July they put out a supply chain report for electric vehicles. This is what the world's going to need just to meet 2030 goals. We're going to need the world 50 more lithium mines, 60 more nickel mines, 17 more cobalt mines. So these mines come from, the cobalt comes from Congo. You ever see videos of those kids, 7-year-old kids in filthy water for about 8 hours a day, 12 hours a day, no education, pennies on the dollar. The lithium, some comes from Australia, some comes from Chile. You got to poison the waters to get it out of there. Some comes from Russia. Indonesia, you got the nickel. And the reason I'm bringing this up is there are five stages to getting from the raw material to the finished product. So when we talk about saving, just think if you were, even if you love the climate issue itself, the president is lying to you. This bill does nothing on the climate side. What it means is that we're going to continue to strip mine the planet. We're going to strip mine the planet and poison the waters. So as you go along through the process, you got the materials, you start to process it. Russia takes a greater share. I mean, China takes a greater share. Then you do the cell components. China takes a greater share. And then you get the batteries. This is the most important part to remember. When the White House talks about energy security, I guess they're talking about those batteries. Right now, China has a 77% share. In a couple of years, they'll have an 80% share. Our share will go from 9% to 6%. The only part of this equation that we play a role in is at the very end of it. We buy these things. And you make the point already. We have the federal government paying, giving money to the richest Americans, college grads who live in urban settings, to buy these cars. They can afford them on their own. They don't need any incentive. Certainly, they don't need the taxpayers' money, someone driving a cab for a living. So this whole thing is a complete farce. There's nothing economic about it. And it does nothing, zero, to even save the climate.
I think that's one of the most cogent two-minute explications
really, really good, yeah.
of what the Green New Deal and today's bill actually results in. More money for communist countries and African countries to oppress people and put kids in cobalt mines,
yeah.
And then for us to buy batteries at the end of the day. You know these people. You've worked in Hollywood. You know the left, Drew. Is what they're doing truly the Cloward Piven plan? Are they really destroying us for the benefit of dictatorial regimes? Or are they just self-deluded? Do you have a sense as to...
I think there are people on the left who are that smart. I do think they're...
Really?
But they're not in Hollywood. I mean...
Are they influencing, for example, this $800 billion... act that was just passed in the Senate?
I think so. I mean, I think the idea that the middle class is going to be gutted, that the IRS is going to be this titanic machine of oppression. I mean, this has got to be the first thing on a Republican agenda if we get power back again. It's got to be demolished. It's got to be taken away. You know, and the FBI has got to be cleaned out. I mean, look how dirty they've turned out to be and how little a story it is. When I talk about a monoculture, this is the most frightening thing that's happening now. And I'm not sanguine about it's going away. All I'm saying is we know we're in a fight, and that's always a good thing. It's always a good thing when you're not being crept up on. In terms of the culture, I think there's just a lot of people in Hollywood who do not know what they're talking about.
But when it comes to this city, where you live now...
Yeah. Now, these people, a lot of these people here are smart.
Because what they're doing is they're basically creating a tributary state. America will be a tributary state to China when it comes to EVs and batteries, and Russia when it comes to energy. And they're doing this consciously, all right? Am I right?
Well, some of them are doing it consciously. There's a lot of stupidity out there. A lot of them, in the moment, Joe Manchin, I don't think, is doing it consciously. I think he got a deal.
The Nazis, the Schumers. They can't not know.
I think at some level they know. I mean, Schumer, look at Schumer, though. Schumer was a moderate Democrat. I mean, I never agreed.
So was Biden.
I know. But now they feel the AOC at their back, and they feel that she's getting all the press. She's getting all the prestige. We were talking before about how Hollywood isn't all about money. It's also about this kind of cloud that the media is able to create, where Chuck Schumer is afraid that AOC will challenge him and win. And she's very good at overturning old men who've gotten complacent in their places. And Schumer knows that, and he suddenly sounds like Stalin. You know, it's amazing. Yeah. And this is so much of it is self-interest on the ground. But above that, there are, of course, people who know what they're doing.
Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, you have reaped the whirlwind, right? As he said to President Trump, the intelligence community of seven ways from Sunday to get at you. Yeah, that's Chuck Schumer. I'm Sebastian Gorka. The new book is A Strange Habit of Mind. Our guest is Andrew Klavan, best podcaster that I listen to here in the United States. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. If you're in daily pain, if you've tried everything else, find out if you're the next success story. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose apart from the pain? Call today. 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com. That's 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com.
No violence. No hate speech, just happy warriors on America First.
My guest just said to me, I'm about to forget that I'm on air. Well, you should. This is a chat with me and you and nobody else, just 3 million people. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. We're talking culture. Pre-order Larry Elder's new movie, Uncle Tom. The sequel, Uncle Tom 2, salemnow.com. First one was superb. I haven't even seen the second one, but I know it's going to be good because it's Larry Elder. SalemNow.com. The movie is Uncle Tom 2. The book that you must pre-order is A Strange Habit of Mind from Andrew Klavan. Let's show it to the cancel culture fascists. Let's get into the top of the bestseller lists. Order it right now. Pre-order it. A Strange Habit of Mind. Couple of minutes left, Drew. Let me ask you advice to those who love America, who want to get into culture. How do you write a good story? What's it about?
Well, I mean, it has to come out of yourself. You start writing because you have stories to tell. You know, you can't just
a writer writes because they have.
That's right. You have to do it. If you didn't, you'd do something safe and
biggest
easy.
Mistakes to avoid as an author?
Express yourself. You're there to communicate with other people.
What does that mean? Explain. That's fascinating.
Well, people who start out thinking, a lot of young writers start out thinking, well, the glory that is me is going to be poured out upon the page. But no, you're in a profession, and the profession is to communicate with other people. You are transferring something of yourself, but you're transferring it to other people. And if they can't break through, if they can't see what you're doing, what difference does it make that you put words on a page?
That's very good.
That's what words are for, you know.
Interesting. And then dialogue. Is that truly one of the hardest things to do, is realistic dialogue?
Some people have a knack for it. but I think the interesting thing is the difference between dialogue in a screenplay that somebody has to speak and dialogue
in a novel
that has to be in your mind, has to sound realistic in your mind. Very different things.
Can you describe the difference?
Well, one is going to be, once you see somebody, an actor on screen speaking your lines, you instantaneously become a better screenwriter because you suddenly say, oh, you can't really say that and make it sound realistic. Where something can be in your mind and you think like, yes, that I get that. I get what that guy is. I get who the character is. And so you're just dealing with a different theater. One is the theater of the mind and one is the theater of the theater. And you have to understand the difference between those two things. Experience really helps with that.
Are you a planner? Kurt Schlichter says he never plans any of his books. He sits down and just has fun and he's on book
Kurt Schlichter is out of his mind.
Right, we know that. He's crazy Colonel K. Do you have a meticulous planning?
I'm meticulous about it. And the reason I'm meticulous about it is because I love to... the actual writing. I hate outlining, so I do all the outlining first, and that way I never sit down in my chair and think, what am I doing today, and have to sit for an hour silently, musing over the plot. It's a terrible, terrible thing, in a novel especially, to get to page 350 and realize that the gun you need to be in the kitchen was left in the living room
on page one.
You know?
If you're as old as he is and you're using a typewriter, it's not a good thing. The book is A Strange Habit of Mine. I've got mine, and it's not even out yet. Aren't you jelly? You should be. Pre-order yours right now. It is part of the Cameron Winter Mystery Series. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Next up, what is it to be a man? We're going to have with us Pastor John Amanchukwu, an amazing American. You don't want to miss it. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, make sure you're subscribed to the show. Then you'll never miss a nanosecond. Stay on this channel.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.